So today, Corpus Christi is more than just a feast for myself, and hopefully it's more than just a special day for us because, you know, our parish is named Corpus Christi. Hopefully it's much more than that because this is everything. The number one thing in life, this truth, this reality that Jesus is truly present, body, blood, soul, divinity in the Eucharist. Like, it is worth everything, or it should be. And it's also one of the reasons why it's so painful when we realize, I think, something like only 24% of Catholics in the United States believe that. So that would mean 76% of Catholics don't believe that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist, which is just, that's sad. That's one thing if that was like non-Catholics thinking, well, I don't really believe that's really Jesus in the Eucharist. Like, that's understandable. That makes sense in some ways. But to have the statistic that 70%+ of Catholics in America think that the Eucharist is just a symbol, right? That's bad. Flannery O'Connor, who was one of the best American authors of the last century, she was Catholic. She lived in the Deep South. At one point, she was at a dinner party with a bunch of people, and there was one other Catholic there at the table, and the other Catholic was one of these 74%. She said, I think the Eucharist is just a symbol. And they asked Flannery O'Connor what she thought, and she said, well, if it's just a symbol, the hell with it. Because that's the truth. And not only it's just a symbol, the hell with it, if it's just a symbol, the hell with us being here. If it's just a symbol, literally, if the Eucharist is just a symbol, then we're worshiping a piece of bread that we think is God. We're kneeling down in front of it, and we're committing idolatry of the worst form. So the hell with it all. That's just how it goes. But the reality is that this is true, that we can take Jesus at his word when he said, "The bread I give is my flesh for the life of the world." And so the big question is, how come? Like, how come so many Catholics have fallen into this notion that the Eucharist is just a symbol? Why don't that many believe what Jesus himself says about the Eucharist in Scripture? And I think there are two main possibilities as to why. There's probably a lot of reasons, but two main ones. And the first is that we lack knowledge. Like, we just don't know. And it isn't that we don't know because we've never been told. Like, I am convinced at some point in school or RE classes, in a homily or a book, it has been presented to virtually all Catholics that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist. Like, the teaching has been heard by people. But we know that hearing is not the same thing as listening. Reading about something is not the same thing as learning it or absorbing it. And just someone saying that that's really Jesus in the Eucharist doesn't mean that we know it. So we can hear Jesus' words again and again in the gospel from the Last Supper. This is my body, eat it. This is my blood, drink it. If you don't do that, you won't have eternal life. But it really doesn't sink in, maybe, because we hear it and we don't listen, and so we lack that knowledge. That's the first main possibility why people think that the Eucharist is just a symbol. But there's another reason. I don't just think it's because people lack knowledge. I think the main reason so many people don't believe that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist is not because they lack knowledge. I think it's because they lack love. I think we lack love. Because we value what we love. And we value most what we love most. And are willing to do whatever it takes for what we love. So way back in the year 304, the emperor, Diocletian, he was the Roman emperor, he had made it illegal to have scriptures. He made it illegal to offer Mass and attend Mass on Sundays under the pain of death. Like, if you were going to go to Mass, you would be killed. And in North Africa, there were these 49 Christians. They defied the emperor's order to stay at home and avoid the Mass, and they were caught. They were caught going to Mass, they were caught celebrating Mass, and these 49 of them were tortured. And all of them, each one of them, went to their death for love of Jesus in the Eucharist. And at one point, one of them, his name was Emeritus, he was asked why. Why would you do this? Like, when you knew we were going to find you, you knew that we were going to arrest you, you knew that we were going to torture and kill you over this, so why did you still do it? And you know what he said? He said, because we can't live without the Mass. We can't live without the Eucharist. He said, the Mass is what makes us Christians. Like, without the Mass, we're not Christian. And so who we are, our deepest identity, right, is being made in God's image and likeness. It's being made into sons and daughters of the Father. Our deepest identity is that we are Christians, and the Mass is what makes us Christians. We cannot live without the Mass. And so my hope is that we're able to reflect on that, having gone through this pandemic, especially those who had been kept away from Mass for months and months, to reflect on what Emeritus said and did. I would rather be killed, I would rather die than to live without the Mass. And to realize that we cannot live without the Mass either. And that the Mass needs to cost us something. Right? For some, it cost them their life, but it'll never cost us our lives, it'll never cost us anything if it doesn't first cost us our time. It has to cost something for you and for me. It may not cost your life, it has to cost you something. Because if we love, then we're willing to let it cost us. If we love the Eucharist, if we love Jesus, we're willing to let it cost us whatever. I remember hearing from another priest about a young woman who was kind of an adventurer, a traveler, rock climber, and she went on this long extended trip out to Thailand to do some rock climbing, actually off in an island off the coast of Thailand. And she realized at one point, I guess I can't go to church. I guess I can't go to Mass while I'm here, because if she was going to go to Mass on Sunday, she knew that she would have to get up at 3:30 in the morning, walk down to catch a 4 o'clock ferry, take an hour-long ride across the water, and then get on a bus for another 2 hours just to get to the nearest Catholic church. And she saw that and was like, well, I can't do that. And then she realized, and this was really good, she was really good about this, because she realized the truth about herself. She said, wait, like, if this was for a climbing trip, if this was for an adventure, yes, I would get up at 3:30, catch the 4 o'clock ferry, get on a 2-hour bus just to go climb. And she realized, I would do it for something else. I would do it for something I loved. And so my saying, I can't make it to Sunday Mass because it's 4 hours away, really isn't I can't make it to Mass, it's I won't, or I'm not willing to. And that convicted her. Why? Because if we love something, we're willing to let it cost us. Again, it's not always just a lack of knowledge. A lot of times for ourselves, it's a lack of love. We say, I can't, when we really mean I won't, or I'm not willing to. And yet for so many people who have loved the Eucharist, they've let it cost them something. For some, it cost them everything. But it will never cost us anything if it doesn't first cost us our time, our schedule. Because the Eucharist always costs us time, and the time that we spend with Jesus in the Eucharist increases our love for him, whether it's at Mass, whether it's in adoration, whether it's just coming into an empty church and spending time with Jesus in the tabernacle. So there's a lot of stories about John Paul II, how he would get up at 3:30, 4 o'clock every morning, even as Pope, working these super long hours, so much responsibility. He would get up early and spend an hour and a half, 2 hours with Jesus in the Eucharist, and then he'd say his daily Mass. And he said that that time of his day was his favorite. Like, that time of his day was the best he had. But that time spent with Jesus that cost John Paul II something, it also did something for him. Right? It did something to his heart because he gave Jesus that time. There's a story I heard about John Paul II when he was traveling. Normally, wherever he goes, he has like a team of people who go in before him to make sure that the schedule is good. And here's the route that the Holy Father's going to take, and they plan out everything for him. And so this one priest who was working for him went into this building that John Paul II was going to visit and realized that in one of these rooms was actually a chapel with the Eucharist, with Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament. And this priest said, you have to keep that door closed. Because if John Paul II sees that, like, he's going to stop and spend like a significant amount of time in prayer, and it's going to throw off the whole day. It's going to wreck the schedule. So just keep that door closed. And so they did, right? They had the door closed, and John Paul II is walking through these halls, and he just stops right in front of the door. And he looks over at this other priest, and he goes, oh, shame on you. And he goes and he opens the door, and he spends a significant amount of time. They said, enough time to wreck the schedule. And John Paul II, he didn't care because Jesus came first. It threw off the rest of the day. But his love for Jesus came first. Because John Paul II, he valued most what he loved the most. He had a love for Jesus. He had a love for the Eucharist. And because of that, the love just keeps growing and growing and growing. And people see Jesus more and more in a person like that. And so, last thing, the reality, of course, is that the Eucharist is God's greatest gift. Salvation is a great gift, absolutely. But the Eucharist is God's greatest gift. Why? Because it's Himself. It's Him. It's a free gift, but we will never appreciate it, like we will never love it like we should, until we value it so much that it costs us. We will never love the Eucharist like we should until we value it so much that it costs us. Because it will always be our choices till it costs us our choices. It'll always be our time until it costs us our time. Jesus will never be the Lord of our life till we let the Eucharist wreck our schedule, till we let the Eucharist throw off our plans because Jesus comes first. And we'll never really, really love the Eucharist until we value it so much that it costs us our life. And only then will we really love this greatest gift that God has ever given to us, Himself, here at Mass. Amen.